welcome here, everybody. So glad that we can all be here. Let's start with our intention for tonight's call. As I mentioned in my emails and phone calls to you all previously, our primary intention is to share information about what this Boys' Rite of Passage is exactly, and inform you all, and also to make some connection here, right? To slow down, to have this as a phone call where we can hear one another's voices. You know, we certainly could have put this onto a web page, right, and treated it like any other program. But with something as special and unique as a rite of passage, the level of connection really needs to be high for it. And we need to have, in order for the rite of passage to succeed, we really need to have a good sense of relationship and rapport happening in order to support that. So we've been running this for, I think, 4 or 5 years now. And I always like to start with at least a phone call. Actually, the first year I actually did this meeting in person, and I had people drive up. And as we've grown, we've realized that was a little bit impractical. But we do like to bring people together in this way. So, again, thank you for joining us. Let's see, a little bit of logistics here. If you get dropped from the call for any reason, just, you know, hang up, wait a minute, and then just call right back with the same information. You should pop on just fine. The level of volume is working for me right now. If it's not working for you, please let us know. Just speak up. If need be, we could have anyone who's not speaking mute their phone locally on your own phone. You're welcome to do that if you'd like. And then we will have some time for you all to share as well. So when you do that, of course, you'd need to unmute yourself. So there's that. Let's see. Okay. So we're going to cover, you know, a number of details. I'm going to start with, actually, I'm going to start not with the details, but really with the vision of what this rite of passage is, and really share that with you all. From that point, we'll take a little break, hear from you all a little bit, and then cover the specific logistics, that level of detail. And, you know, at the end of the call, if we get to that point, you still have questions, we'll do a question and answer session, so you can jump in at that point. So during the call, if you do have questions that are like right on topic with the particular topic that we're addressing, you're welcome to jump in and ask those. And but yeah, keep in mind we do have a number of different points to cover. So having done this a few years, I think we should be able to cover most of your questions before we get to the end of the call. Okay. So Daniel, anything else on big picture here before we jump in?
No, I don't think so.
I think we're good, yeah. Okay. Good. Well, let's see. Let's start with what is a rite of passage exactly. You know, it's a phrase that is used in different ways in this modern world of art, 2017. And different people mean different things by it. Another term that's often used synonymously with it is initiation. For us here at Twin Eagles, we really see those as different things. And for us, we really see that a rite of passage is a ritual event specifically intended to mark a transition for an individual from one life phase, one major life phase, to another. Right, major life phases being what? Birth, being a baby, childhood, adolescence, adulthood, maybe parenting, being an elder, and then death. So not too many, right? That's like less than 10. What is that, like half a dozen? So we're seeing that a rite of passage is a ceremonial event to mark that transition. Classically, it consists of three phases: the separation from the known, from community or family, some sort of challenge element, and then reintegration. And so for us at Twin Eagles, of course, we take great inspiration from all the indigenous cultures worldwide, and as you probably know, we've been mentored ourselves by a number of different Native American teachers and mentors and elders through the years. So we're really asking that question of how do we bring the best of a rite of passage to this modern experience that we live in here, 2017, and still have it be an authentic experience. That's really our core work. So for us, some core values tied in with this rite of passage is mentoring relationships, right? This is not just open to the public. This is by invitation only. You've each received an invitation from myself based on the mentoring relationship that I have with your sons and the relationship that we've shared together. So certainly nature is a core part of this rite of passage. It will be an immersion into the natural world, which of course comes as no surprise. And community. Community is an essential element of this rite of passage. Classically, a rite of passage is actually as much for the community as it is for the individual. And we're going to be sharing more on that a little bit later. We want to be clear that this rite of passage is a transition into your son's stepping out of boyhood, stepping into becoming a young man, or stepping into adolescence. We have a wide range of ages, actually, relatively speaking, 13 to 16, of your sons that we're considering here this experience for. And that's been our experience, that window works. 13 is, 13, 14 is that low end, and then 15, 16 at the upper end. What this is not is this is not an initiation into adulthood. We don't see that. We don't see them stepping into becoming full, mature men yet, but it's a step in that direction. So one of the things that we're conscious of is using the term boy intentionally to describe your sons before this experience, and using the term young man to describe your sons after this experience. This being our fourth or fifth year running this experience, there's a number of young men who have gone through this, and just that one piece, right, referring to them as a young man, it's remarkable how impactful that can be. Okay, good. We really see that that well done, properly done, a rite of passage is really an essential process to guide your sons into a successful, positive, and responsible adult life. Good. So just a little bit more on the history, right? I think most people are familiar with the fact that rites of passages were traditionally an essential part of indigenous cultures. There's been, of course, a lot of research and lots of folks with experience with that. And the common understanding, right, is that, our modern culture has lost these ceremonies, these rituals, these rites of passage. So as I said earlier, the function of it is, on the one hand, to transition the individual into this next phase of life. But at the same time, a big portion of the function of the rite of passage is to connect the individual to the community, right? And that this idea of witnessing, that when there's this community element witnessing the transition that the individual is going through, it helps them to make the transition itself, right? That when we're going through a conscious process, that people see this is happening and are able to offer their reflections, then that individual knows that, right? It's like the young man then knows that the community is seeing him differently. They have different expectations of him. They're holding him accountable in a new way. And so that's a big part of it as well. It's about the initiate going out in the rite of passage itself. As we said earlier, there's a challenge phase in there where they have to come up against something great and really test themselves. And through that, right, each individual goes through that uniquely. And we've seen the full gamut. But each individual in the process of facing this challenge, then, right, as they approach it differently, they discover themselves. They discover what their unique strategy is and what their gifts are, right, how they face these challenges. Coming back then, that's a big part of the reflection and mentoring process, is to help, that we do as guides, is to help reflect, oh, these are your gifts that are emerging, and maybe they've already begun to emerge, but they're emerging at a new level now. And then that gets reflected to the broader community, and the broader community begins to see the young man's gifts in a new way. And he brings that gift to the community, right? And this was a classic element of the old indigenous rites of passage, is that at that phase, right, it's like, oh, here you are. You're unique. You've got these gifts. You approach life differently than I do, and we need you. We need you to do that. You know, life is not always easy, but we're in this together, and you're an important part, right? So they feel their own responsibility to community, and especially when, but of course, our role then is to make space for that, and to see that, yes, you know, hold space and hold that vision of, yes, you're more responsible now, and yes, there's a place for you. So really, you know, I think a great simple way to put this, you know, that is that we really see rites of passages being essential to healthy culture, to healthy community, and as essential as arms and legs are to the human body. And it's unfortunate that our modern culture has overall lost that. And so I think we've all, I mean, I know I sure have, and many people would have agreed with me on this. So we've really normalized that. Like, this is our world now. This is what we've got. So we're going to make the best of it. But this is really our work then. How do we bring this back? You know, how do we bring this back in an authentic way, yet relevant to our modern experience? Good. Well, Dee, Daniel, maybe I will hand this over to you if you're up for it. And maybe it'd be good to speak a little bit more about, you know, why we're offering this personally, why this matters to us. I've spoken to that a little bit here. And then also speaking a little bit to the benefits, a little bit more to the specific benefits, benefits to the parents, of course, to the individual, the community.
Yeah, sure, Tim. Thanks. Well, first I'll say, for those who don't know me so well, that I worked with Twin Eagles from, gosh, I don't remember the years, but for about 8 years I worked with Tim and Janine, and I worked my way from being a volunteer assistant to doing personal mentoring with Tim and Janine long distance and through a few years and coming up to do their adult programs and then becoming a lead instructor, and pretty soon after a while I was the first person they actually trusted to run a program without them around. I think I was the first one they allowed to direct a whole program, and then I started doing more of them, and had some of the parents who are on this call. I worked with your sons, and as I was in that mentoring process with Tim and Janine, I had a lot of chance to look back on my life and on my growth as a boy and as a young man and then as a young adult, and look at what things were present in my life that helped me feel alive and connected with my place in the world, with my community, with my family, with my people. And what things were maybe missing in my growth as a boy and as a young man and as a man, and in looking back and finding the things that were present that really connected me with my heart and connected me with my people and connected me with my gifts, it was really also evident to see, like, oh wow, if I had just had this, or if I had just had that, I wonder how connected I would have been. And for me, the rite of passage, it was not necessarily named that, but I had an experience in the Boy Scouts where there was initiation into a thing called the Order of the Arrow. And it was actually that process in the Boy Scouts actually came from one of our ancestors of the some of the traditions that we carry at Twin Eagles and in the Nature Connection movement from Baden Powell and from Norman Powell in Africa. And they were studying indigenous cultures in Africa and saying, what is it that these folks do to help their boys transition into being men? And when I did that initiation, we went out with a tarp overnight, and then we did a day of silent service for a Boy Scout camp. And it was pretty cool, actually. And there was tons of parents and older boys. But there was also, it wasn't really fully out in the open and on the surface what we were doing. And there wasn't really a nice, clear line where I could say, oh, yeah, I'm actually leaving these things behind, and I'm stepping into this new version of myself, this larger capacity of myself. And when I really got my first conscious rite of passage was when Janine said, I think it's time for you to go on a vision quest. And she didn't actually offer to lead that because she wasn't doing that at the time. But she recommended I go to this organization in California, and I did that. And when I did that vision quest, it was a clear line. They encouraged me to step across the line and say, I am now an adult human being. And this is what it means to me, generated out of my own heart and my own past and my own listening to my elders and to people in my community. This is what it means for me to be an adult human being. This is what it means for me to be a man, and to name all those things out loud. And that was really scary for me, actually. It was totally the unknown, and I resisted it in various ways that humans resist growing and changing and getting larger. But that experience for me really sunk in deep into my heart, and I was like, wow, this is really important. I didn't know that this was a part of being a human being because it had been kind of lost in the story that I was living. And I was like, wow, this is super important. And so I started studying it, like, what are vision fasts and vision quests and who did them and how did it work? And I realized that throughout intact cultures, and what I mean by an intact culture is a cultural story that held people and held them in connection with place over a long period of time and enabled them to live in a good way. Throughout all connected cultures, there was always these markings. And I was like, wow, how do we get that back then? How do we help that reemerge? And so Tim offered a lot of the answers through this rite of passage and through my studying of the Vision Quest with the School of Lost Borders. I also saw a lot of those answers in stepping from adolescence into adulthood as well, and saw how important that is for living well, healthy, happy, in community on the earth, which I feel like we need so much right now. Mm-hmm. And so the reason I'm coming back to Twin Eagles is because I feel like the rite of passage is such an important thing that I'm working on starting it here in my neighborhood, in my community here. And I feel like the mentoring journey is also really important. So I'm still working with Tim as my mentor to help me initiate that kind of a project here. And also to help along the rite of passage there in Idaho until it's really fully sunk in and settled in community. And it takes a little while to initiate a new thing. Like, how many of you didn't necessarily have a rite of passage or a marked transition when you were young, or didn't necessarily have a community that said, I see you now. You are changing. Here are your gifts. Here is a place for you to be in the world. Like, how many of us really had that, and that was a conscious thing?
Yeah.
And so it takes a while for this kind of thing to build momentum and to reemerge and for culture to heal itself. And so I'm coming back to the rite of passage with Twin Eagles because I want to see it continue to flourish and grow. And I see that it really does benefit these young men that we work with. Like, I see these young men that I've worked with over the years, and some, like a man named Jesse, I just guided on a vision fast. He may even be coming as an assistant to this rite of passage.
Mm-hmm.
We've been working with him since he was 11 years old, and he's now 22. And this young man walks in a strong way in the world. Like, his head is upright. He knows where he's headed. He's got his story, and he's sinking in. He's like, how do I make the biggest impact I can in the world? And some other youngsters that we've been working with over the years, we continue a relationship with them and watch them, and they come back to us through their struggles. Hey, I'm struggling with this thing in high school. Like, it's really tough with all this workload and running into this problem with these people, and they come back to us and ask us for help. And I see how it impacts them to be able to say, I am a young man now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also see how it impacts their community. In this rite of passage, we ask them to go back to their community, to anchor with someone in their life, like an elder, like a grandparent, like an uncle, and tell the story. And then that person is drawn into connecting with them in their life, and that community that they invite and say, hey, you were important to me in my life, because we have them do a giveaway at the end of this rite of passage and connect it back with their community. You're important to me in my life. Here's the impact you made. And then those older people are drawn in closer to their story, into their journey, and can help them along. I think I named a couple of the benefits. Also, just since we are all of us who guide the rite of passage have been through a similar experience, we have the, I guess, we're only leading something that we've gone through ourselves, and so there's this depth that comes with that, and we're clearly espousing and offering certain values like honesty, like going and asking for help when you need it, like things that any of us would probably say are common human values. And we're very clearly saying these are going to help you as a young man, and they do, and they feel the impact of, like, yes, it helps me to go to my sit spot. Yes, it helps me to ask for help when I need it. So those are a few things I'm thinking of right now, and I just want to turn it back over to you, Tim.
Great.
Is there anything else you want to add on that?
Well, thank you, Daniel, and I really, yeah, I just I'm feeling everything you shared there in my heart, and really, I just gotta say how grateful I am that you're coming back for this. You know, you've grown so much, you know, through the years, and you have such a passion and a skill and experience in leading these transformational experiences, and for me for you to be here, you know, that makes a big difference, and I'm just really present with that right now, you know, after you shared what you did. So yeah, just feeling very grateful for your presence here and your future presence at the Rite of Passage. I think it's just a great thing. And yeah, you know, as for benefits, you know, maybe a couple other, you named some great ones there. Another really important one I think that we need to address is this idea of emotional maturity and feelings. and what does that mean for males in our world? What does it mean for men? What does it mean for young men? What does it mean for boys? Do men even have feelings? Yes, we do. They're real. But we live in this culture where still – the dominant culture does not support men to express emotions. Maybe a couple are okay, like maybe anger is okay in certain circumstances. And so part of what we're doing is, part of our commitment at Twin Eagles is, you know, we always talk about the connection to three things, to nature, the connection to nature, the connection to other people, to community, and the connection to self. And the emotional component of that is so important. It's so important for everyone, but especially for males, to be able to, even just the very basics, right? Like naming my feelings. I feel sad. I feel joyful. I feel angry. I feel shameful. To be able to name those and like accept those about ourselves, you know, this is a big part of what it means to be a healthy human being on planet Earth, is to have a good relationship with ourselves on the emotional front. And what I see is that, I mean, yeah, are you kidding me? Like, teenage boys, what support did they get emotionally, particularly outside of their family? A lot of families, they actually don't get that support, even within the family. But certainly, we look at high school, and what does the dominant high school culture have to say about teenage boys experiencing emotions? Like, watch out, you know? Are you kidding me? It's totally not cool, you know? And yet, here they are going through this transition of their life from childhood to adulthood. Tons of emotions are coming up. We know this is true. And yet our dominant culture is telling them basically to repress it. Now, that's a big statement. Is that always true in all cases? No. But I think it's safe to say that that's the majority of the experience happening out there. So part of what we're doing is we're creating a space where it's not just safe to develop this kind of emotional maturity, but we're modeling it, and we actually hold it up high. It's something that we encourage, and that one alone is so big. I mean, I'm part of the Sandpoint Men's Group, right? We meet. I've been doing this for six years, and our intention is to support men in having healthy emotions, right? And so we get guys from all kinds of all walks of life. And I regularly see guys come in 40, 50 years old having a midlife crisis just for the first time in their life learning what it really means to feel and to be accepted by others. And I can't accept that. How could I be a responsible man? How could I be a responsible mentor and mentor your kids and allow them to enter into that crazy world, you know, that I've suffered with? I mean, I didn't get all this, you know, consciousness until I was in my mid-20s. I'm 42 now, but it doesn't have to be that way. So that's a big part of what we create. And I think a lot of the teens experience that, even at our teen weekends or at our teen summer camps. You know, it's like it's safe to be you. You don't have to put on a mask. You can just be yourself. You can feel. It's okay to cry. It's okay to, you know, yell if you're angry. It's okay to really exclaim if you're joyful. And so anyhow, that's just a huge benefit I see, is really initiating that at this time. It's definitely, for you as parents, a big benefit is going to be it's a proactive step to address pushback, right, and resistance and some of the conflict that can come in the teenage years. You know, in short, why does that happen? You know, why is that so prevalent in our world today? Are teenagers simply designed to do that? I don't think so. I think that's an indicator of a gap, right? The gap being teenagers are designed, I think, to test themselves and to test their world. And when they don't get that, right, and when they don't have this bigger circle, and for boys especially, not having other mature men outside of the family, the immediate family, who are there for them, then oftentimes what happens is they feel constricted, right? And they probably don't even know why. And then mom and dad, of course, are doing their best to support them, but so oftentimes that results in this feeling of constriction and pushing back. So this is really a way that we proactively address that. Maybe we'll be talking about that a little bit more later as well. And then as well, you know, this is a huge huge part of the rite of passage is about preparing your sons to face the challenges of life in a healthy way. Like, it is safe to say that each of them will face tremendous challenges in their lives. Why? Because they're a human being living on planet Earth. That's been part of being a human. And in our world, what I see is, again, culturally speaking, we tend to shy away from the challenges and not prepare our kids for this in a healthy way. And so a part of the design of the rite of passage is to have them come up against a big challenge, something really tough that's going to test them in a way that they have not been tested before, so that they can face themselves in a new way, right? And come through this challenge with new gifts, and really that are just at their essence. But coming through that and facing those challenges, then they develop a new sense of self. Wow, I did this thing that I didn't know if I could do it, right? And that's the art of this rite of passage, is dialing, for Daniel and I, is dialing that challenge just right. So it's at the right at their edge. If it's too easy, the whole thing it doesn't work, because they didn't have to do a hard enough challenge. If it's too hard, then they're overwhelmed, and that doesn't work either. So there's that sweet spot in the middle. And coming through that, then that prepares them really mythologically for the challenges they're going to face. You know, we're not going to be there in those moments when, what, you know, they're at a party and someone's offering them drugs or alcohol or, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff that happens in our modern world. And if we can create this opportunity and give them this challenge consciously, right, we'll meet that need inside them, yet still hold the safe container, of course, keep it a safe experience, and something deep is met inside them. And if we don't meet that, then they will seek it out, right? And there's that quote I put in the letter, the old African quote, if we don't initiate the boys, they'll burn down the village. If we don't initiate the boys, they'll burn down the village. So, that's another one, a big, big benefit. And then, of course, for them to really sit with their own essence, asking the big questions of who am I? Why am I here? What are my gifts? What are my responsibilities?
Yeah, can I add
something to the end of
that?
Big stuff.
Tim, I was just saying, could I add something to the end of that?
Yeah,
I just want to also underline that an initiation, especially in this case, and a rite of passage is designed, and this may be being one of the first ones they've ever had, maybe the first one they've ever had, it's designed to initiate us into an inner life, into a sense of a connection with something much greater than just ourselves, and maybe much greater than we've known. And in the silence of being alone, of true time alone, there's this opening into a different kind of relationship with the world. And those questions that emerge for all human beings in the world, like who am I and what am I here for, begin to find your own answers in initiating the inner life. And they really do.
Beautiful. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, you know, and I think you all certainly know this about Twin Eagles, but, you know, of course, we don't have any particular religious affiliation or, you know, anything like that. We're just about, as I said, you know, connecting people to nature, to community, and to themselves. But oftentimes people report, wow, that was one of the richest, most spiritual experiences I had, you know, going on this rite of passage. And, you know, we don't push that. I mean, people have the experience that they do. We don't push that perspective. But oftentimes, you know, the young men come back and they report that, like, wow, I really did connect with myself. I really did connect with something greater. And it's even difficult to even talk about this in a way, because it's not the realm of the mind. You know, it's the realm of the heart, the realm of the spirit that gets touched here. So, you know, and as I look back through the years, I mean, running Twin Eagles 12 years now, almost coming up on 13, and the 5 years of mentoring I did before that, and when I was doing my training, you know, I've seen a lot of boys come through the process. You know, I have relationships that are 5, 10, 15 years. I have some relationships with people I've been mentoring 15 years. And I've seen the differences numerous times, what happens when people get this and what happens when they don't. And I've seen how normalized the lack of rites of passages are, of course, in our modern world. And having witnessed the boys who have gone through the rite of passage, who have, you know, had that experience, it's remarkable to me, you know, to see how they light up through this experience, to see the positivity that they walk with through their teenage years, you know, to almost this sense, almost of extended family in a sense, right? Of Daniel was talking about this, you know, they call me when they're having a hard time, and that's part of the understanding and the encouragement with you parents is, hey, let's partner a little bit more here. You know, this idea of the nuclear family structure is a difficult one. it's difficult to imagine that, you know, I mean, in my case, you know, Janine, my wife and I, that we're the only two human beings that are supposed to meet the needs of the deep needs of our kids. Like, I don't think that's possible. And especially, you know, my boys haven't hit the teenage years, but my goodness, you know, especially when that kicks in, there's a web of relationships that's needed at that time. And when they get that, you know, so many of the classic challenges of the teenage years honestly just disappear. And because they're getting this level of support that wouldn't otherwise be there. And so, yeah, we've got 17, 18-year-olds now that have gone through the boys' rite of passage that are now just about ready for that that next rite of passage into adulthood, you know, and we're right there with them. I don't necessarily see them every day, but they stay in touch. You know, oftentimes they stay involved with Twin Eagles programs. Oftentimes they step into the helper role of helping out as like a mentor in training with their other youth programs, and they experience that level of giving back. And it's just such a beautiful thing. And to see, you know, some of you maybe have seen this already, but, you know, to see the 15-year-old boys not ashamed to give each other a hug, you know, because they really care about each other, and they've gone through some really strong experiences together. And, yeah, that's okay, you know. To see them, you know, cry if they need to and express those deep feelings rather than repressing them, holding them back, or feeling shameful about it. You know, these are big things that make a big difference. So, yeah, you know, these are, it's a great conversation. I think of it, too, like in terms of diversity, right? And I think this is pretty well understood in this day and age, that diversity, that we're stronger, diversity brings us strength, right? And we can use a simple metaphor of nature and a forest. You know, if we have a forest that's all white pine trees, and that's the only species of tree in that forest, and then we have another forest maybe across the road that's got all different kinds of species of trees. There's cedars and firs and spruce and hemlocks and cottonwoods and aspens and cascara and larch and all sorts of species, right? And then, and white pine as well. And then, let's say the white pine blister rust comes in. You know, in the one forest that's all white pine, that blister rust is going to decimate the forest. It will take out that entire forest and all of the animals and birds and insects and fish and et cetera, and plants and et cetera, will be impacted by that. We'll take a major hit. And in the other forest, that same blister rust will take out most of those white pines, but the other 80-90% of trees stay strong. And collectively, the forest remains intact. And that's kind of how I see it with our kids these days, is when it's just mom and dad, or in some cases maybe just mom or just dad, as the sole adult that they can really open up to in a big way, that's really limited. That's really limited. And when the big challenges come, what happens? You know, it's a major blow on the family structure. Whereas when we have this web of support, you know, and mentors present and other peers that have gone through, you know, rich experiences and deep experiences, you know, and maybe elders and maybe aunts and uncles, then that diversity prevents the same events from having such potentially disastrous results. So, yeah. Well, good. I want to address this question. I've had a few parents ask me this, and this is a really important piece. How do I know when my son is ready? This is a really important important piece. And it's important to look at some measurable indicators. I put this in the letter. I don't know if anyone has read that or not. But I just want to go through this. So one clear one is that physical puberty has set in, right? That's a clear measurable indicator that he's getting ready for that rite of passage. A deeper sense of self-awareness. This one's a little bit more difficult to measure, but more aware of himself. And this can show up in a lot of different ways. When he's interested in stretching out, interested from his own accord, right? It's really initiating interest in stretching out beyond the core family unit more, right? Developing that greater social scene, you know, that's so classic with teenagers. When they've really entered into that phase, you really know it, you know? I mean, they're so interested in spending time with their friends, right? That's a natural function of individuation that we look at there. Pushing back, you know, a certain amount of pushback is actually healthy, I think, in terms of that individuation process, you know, developing himself as an individual separate from mom and dad, right? They're going through that phase of transitioning from the dependence on mom and dad, literally, you know, I mean, we go back to like them being babies. They were completely physically dependent on you. You know, and now they're moving towards independence. So it's healthy for them to individuate in that way, right? So looking, if there's some amount of pushback, unique, you know, and different from the previous phase of life. Being interested in romantic relationships, certainly that's a classic indicator. Figuring out personal interests apart from the family, testing boundaries. These are all, you know, good, solid indicators. We may not necessarily need every one of these present, but a good chunk of these being present, I think, is what we're looking for. If they're not ready, what does that look like? Maybe still having a foot in the fantasy realm, or fantasy play realm, right? That would be really a hallmark of classic childhood phase. If his peer group is significantly younger, maybe a year or two, if his main primary peer group is a year or two younger than he is, that might be a good indicator that he's not quite ready. If he's still very attached to being with mom and dad, that might be an indicator that he's not ready. And sometimes it's just intuitive, you know. And you got to be careful on this one, because sometimes we can misconstrue it. But if you have a hunch that his emotions and trust that he's just not ready for it emotionally, and in terms of, you know, being ready to step away from mom and dad in that way, sometimes that can be another way that we know. Good. Okay. Well, we're just about done with this vision phase, kind of sharing the vision of it. Let's see, what else do we have here? Okay, I think it'll be useful for us here to just name how this is different from a normal Twin Eagles program, right? I said that in the email. I don't actually see this as a normal Twin Eagles program. And so just laying that out here, we really see this as a community-based event. This is community and family play an integral role in this, and that's not necessarily the case in the same way, say, as a camp that we host in the summertime or a weekend that we might host in the school year. Community plays a part in those, but it's not an essential core ingredient in the way it is for this. This is invitation only. I think we said that before. We really see this as a ceremonial process from start to finish. We see that this is intended to awaken that mature masculine spirit within, right, that emotional maturity we talked about. There's definitely a component of this outside of the program, the rite of passage experience itself. So there's this phone call. We have there's a second phone call, actually, with your parents that's involved in this, and then the community giveaway that Daniel was speaking about earlier in the call. Those are all core essential ingredients to this. And the pricing is actually different as well. I don't have a fixed single price for this experience, and I'm going to be sharing more about that later. Okay. Good, so I'm just kind of reviewing a couple notes here. Okay, well, I think maybe we're at a good point to pause. Daniel, how's that sounding to you? Anything else to share?
Yeah, I just want to say something about the risk of not doing a rite of passage, not having a rite of passage.
Sure.
And I actually don't have a lot of big fear around this myself, but I've watched over the years what happens if we don't get met with the things that we really need from our community, from our family, from our peers, from our mentors, from our elders. What happens if we don't get those things, if they're not in place? What happens? And my belief is that life initiates us whether we want it or not, and life can initiate us in many different ways. But if we don't get these rites of passage, boys and the masculine, we're looking for ways to test our boundaries. And sometimes those boundary testing places can go in unhealthy ways. And probably many of us have stories in our own lives or of people we know or of people we've heard about that have pushed those edges in ways that aren't so healthy. And some of the ones I think about that are super prevalent in my neighborhood here in the city that I live in are things like drugs and alcohol and sex and substance abuse and gangs and violence. And there's these ways that the masculine wants to be met and helped along. And I imagine that's probably not going to be the case for a lot of your boys, but there are also subtle ways that we push out and that life can initiate us in ways that are not so healthy and not so comfortable, really. And so I want to say a rite of passage consciously initiated is like kind of like the ideal scene for transitioning from boyhood into adolescence. And there are a lot of different ways that life can offer to do that for us. And I figure, why not just build it in to the way that we hold culture and the way that we hold community, and so that it works really smoothly for us.
Great.
That's all I wanted to add.
Perfect. Good. Well, good. So Daniel and I have been speaking a lot, of course. I'm aware of that. And I just want to pause. We're going to get into the details next. But before we do that, we'd just love to hear from even a few of you parents right now, just as we kind of pause and breathe and let this sink in. We've been talking about a lot. This is deep stuff for sure. It's not a lightweight conversation, I don't think. So I'd love to hear from some of you parents. How is this landing so far? I'm curious, what has caught your attention? We've actually covered a number of different points. So just love to get a little bit of reflection from you right now as we pause here.
Hi, this is Brian. Yeah, I certainly never had any type of conscious initiation like this, but as you said, we kind of did it on our own. Me and my peers survived is miraculous in and of itself. So, controlled sounds like a good idea to me.
Great.
So this is Joy. After reading the book Tribe, I don't know if all of you know that book Tribe. I can't think of the author's name off the top of my head, but it's well worth a read. And it talks specifically about when there are uninitiated and how young men do bring it on. If they're driving too fast or they're just being energetically emotional. So I agree with my husband that a controlled environment that pushes the limit and helps them to step into that next step of self-sufficiency and community is probably the best place to go.
Yeah. Great. Thank you both. Thank you. Any other reflections here as we pause?
Yeah, this is Kelly Hennessy. I think that something I focus on really a lot when, as a parent is intentionality and, why we do the things that we do. And it's hard as a mom of a son to always know how to teach him to be intentional. But it sounds like that's a big focus of this is sort of the intentionality of how it is that we grow and change and figure out who we are. And I think that that's really, really important in teaching kids how to make their own choices and become their own people and be confident in doing that because it's just something that's really difficult to learn how to do.
Right. Right. Great. That's great, Kelly. Yeah, absolutely. That's very much a part of our process is being intentional in that way. Good. Well, any other reflections? Maybe just one more here before we move on. Okay, well, the group's pretty quiet here, so I'll take that as my indicator to move things forward. So looking at details here a little bit. Let's see. In terms of the facilitation, looking at who's going to be facilitating this, I'm in the role of the initiation leader. Daniel is my co-guide, so we really for this process we consider ourselves as guides. We're using that term consciously and intentionally. We've got Jesse Hogue, who we've been mentoring for a lot of years. He's in his early 20s and has gone through, close to, I think, 10 years of mentoring with us. We will likely have one or two other guides with us as well. Less experienced in the facilitation than Daniel and I. Daniel and I are the ones who are really holding the leadership. We really see that at its best, in the ideal scene, Daniel, you were speaking about that earlier, the ideal scene for a rite of passage is that it's being led by men who have been initiated themselves, right, which we have, outside of the immediate family, who the boys and the parents trust. right? Those are some key ingredients there. And, of course, Daniel and I, having years of work together, we've developed a really strong rapport and relationship to serve in a good way, right? In the old cultures, the rites of passage would have been classically led by, say, the uncles, right? And there was a key in there, right? I know as a parent myself how protective I am of my kids, my boys, and how it just turns my stomach to imagine them, you know, being hurt in any way or even being uncomfortable. Like, I just can't stand it. You know, I just want to take care of them and nurture them, and that's normal and right. And so for someone like an uncle or a mentor, you know, there's not that, the relationship is different. You know, they still love them, they still care for them, they still have their best interests in mind, but they're more able to, I think, allow the kids, the boys, to experience that sting of life, so to speak, right? Not that they'll get hurt, but to experience the uncomfortableness that life can be sometimes, to really face a challenge and hold space for them to just be in the challenge and in the uncomfortability of that. And that's so needed in the rite of passage. So that's a classic, the classic role of what would have been the uncles to lead that. And, you know, I mean, in these days, again, I think that when I look at mainstream, I see that one of my observations is that these days parents really want to do it all, right? It's like I see parents that, like, they want to be the disciplinarian. They want to be the loving adult in their child's life. They want to be their friend. And, and I see some of those tendencies in my own self. And it's like they're wanting to take on all those different roles that we once had when we lived in a tribe. That was just mentioned earlier, right? And in some ways, it doesn't really work. You know, in some ways, it really doesn't work. And I see it's such a more ideal setting when we have multiple caring, committed adults in their lives who can be present in the hardships, you know, and really join forces as partners in the process. And again, you know, I spoke about that before, that, you know, ideally that as human beings we travel from dependence on our parents and on the adults in our lives, right? Like as babies, we're totally physically dependent on parents to get our needs met. Transitioning from that dependence to independence, right? Like I can exist on my own, I'm my own person, I can meet my own needs. And then ultimately, the greatest expression I feel is really interdependence. When we're in that phase of we're stronger together, that vision of the diverse forest that's stronger together. Yes, one tree could make it on its own. Yes, one adult could make it on their own. But we don't have to. We can be stronger together. We can have more joy, more meaning, more connection, more happiness in our lives when we work together in a good way. And so this rite of passage, I mean, I just want to be clear, it's really designed to transition them from that phase of dependence towards that phase of independence. And that piece needs to be done well in order for the next phases to be done well. And so that's a big part of why it's really important, actually, from our perspective, that parents don't facilitate the rite of passage, because they themselves represent that dependence. And for it to be done well, it's essential that the parents have a letting go moment. And that's a part of what we facilitate. We actually have a formal separation ceremony on drop-off at the actual experience where we name it as such, you know, and we name and we go straight to the heart, and it's oftentimes, almost always, there's tears, you know, when it's like, okay, this is the last time you're going to see your son as a boy, your flesh and blood, you know, that you raised, that came from your body, in most cases. And what does that mean, you know? And that's needed, you know? And sure, I think we could all conjure up images and cases of times when we've seen that, when mom and dad haven't let go, you know, past the stage of it being healthy, you know, late into the teen years or beyond, or stories of, you know, the 25, 35-year-olds still kind of almost like acting like they're living out the teenage years, you know. And that's not healthy in the vast majority of cases. So so the sense of moving from that dependence to independence, this idea that how important it is that the parents are present and conscious for the transition but are able to let go and hand it off, you know, and that's what we're really offering here is we're inviting you to consider us to be those people if you trust us, you know, if you feel like you can put your trust in us and count on us to do this well, you know, and that's really our invitation here. In that way, we join hands with you, you know, as a collective and say, okay, you know, this is a strategy. We've seen that it worked in the old cultures. We've brought it back. We've seen that it works now. We've adapted this. You know, would you like to join us in this? And that, you know, we have run it for a few years now, but as Daniel was mentioning earlier, it hasn't fully yet reached, certainly hasn't reached the vision that I'm holding for it. I mean, I envision a community, an extended community here in the Inland Northwest with, you know, where there's numerous families who have young men that have been initiated, and it's embedded in the culture. You know, where we have guides who they themselves were initiated, right? Where younger siblings watch older siblings go through this and they know, and they start asking those questions really young. Wow, what is that thing my older brother's doing? Am I going to do that? Oh, one day I will do that, you know? And where we have initiated young men come back to help the next wave. And that is something we're working on for this year. I've put a number of invitations out, six or eight, to young men who have gone through the rite of passage previously with us to come back and help out. Some of them that your boys know and have looked up towards over in previous years at other programs. Some of them have been MITs, right? Nathan Peck and Kaylin Angel and Oscar Angel and Rozzy Schmidt and Owen Forbes, Cooper Luce. Just a few of these guys. So we're really, you know, holding that vision of this mature culture where this is reestablished and reintegrated in our community. For you parents answering this question, what's your involvement look like? So being present with us on this call is step number one, you know, getting informed and making a connection more than just, you know, this is our intention. I hope you're feeling this. It's more than just a list of details, but we're opening our hearts to you, you know, sharing from within what this means to us. And that's important to us that you feel that, right? Not just that you know it in your mind, but that you feel it in your heart and that you see if you resonate with that, with this, and if you make a connection. There is a second parent meeting where we specifically address, what does it mean for you as a parent to let go of your son as a boy? What does that mean? And what support do you need as he transitions? Because by the nature of relationship, if his role is shifting, then your relationship with him will shift. And that impacts you. And we need you to show up and be present. We need you to be able to let go of the boy so the young man can be birthed. And in extreme cases, if you don't, I mean, I've actually seen that where if parents are holding on too tight to that little boy, it doesn't work. So this needs to be conscious on your part as well. We address that at that second meeting. We ask you to be present at the drop-off for the rite of passage. It's not a long thing, but on that Wednesday when it gets started, we ask you to be present for that parent separation ceremony, both mom and dad. You know, it's not just like a little camp where you can send the babysitter and have them drop the kid off. Not that you guys do that, but some families do. But this is important. You know, your sons need to see and feel you releasing them as a boy And we name that in a powerful moment, consciously, intentionally. And then similarly, we need you to be present at the return. It's not required that both parents are present, but that is the ideal. You know, that is the ideal. And we definitely ask that at least one parent is present for the drop-off and the pickup. Because, again, on the pickup, then we're facilitating the reunification ceremony with the family. And a lot is shared in that moment. You know, that's not a quick thing. That's a profound moment, actually. And again, usually the crowd is full of tears, you know, for a good chunk of that time, because it's really, really moving. And then we really, and this is really important, which is we ask you to make a commitment to us that if you want to join us in this, we're offering it. One of our essential terms, one of our great needs is we need your support to support your son to host the giveaway after the rite of passage. And I won't get into all the details in that. I know we're moving along with our call here with the time, but the brief overview is after he's completed the rite of passage, it's essential we see for them to host this giveaway. The giveaway is a time for the young men now, having completed the rite of passage, to call together his community, right? The friends, the family, the teachers, the people, the friends, you know, his own peer group that have meant something in his life, to call them together as a simple way of saying thank you for supporting me to get to this new phase in my life, and for him to share with the people that matters in his life here's what happened to me, and here's what it means to me. So this is this idea of witnessing, right? And he's kind of mining for nuggets, and kind of by that point, you know, with all the mentoring that's in place, he's really found the essence of what he's learned from this, and then sharing that. And that's a key component of bringing that back to community that we talked about earlier, right? It's this rite of passage is as much for community as it is for the boys. And this is something that's not common in our world today, but, you know, in all my work, I've committed my adult life to one of my great passions has been connecting with the old communities. So I've built lots of relationships with Native teachers and elders and communities. And one of the things I've found universally true is that all these indigenous communities have this this event of a giveaway well integrated into their communities. And so typically it might be, you know, at the major events in life, or maybe once a year, an individual will hold a giveaway where they're giving thanks for the gifts in their life. And it's not a potluck, you know, it's like they make the meal, they serve the people, they may have gifts. And oftentimes there's even a deeper component of, you know, giving thanks to for those, all the gifts that they've gotten. And in that way, it's a deeply bonding experience for the community. What we've found is, in the early years, we didn't require it, really, at the level we do now. And the young men who finished the rite of passage but did not do the giveaway oftentimes really struggled. And then we started catching on, oh my gosh, we even realized that it was more important than we first thought. And for those that completed it, it's the final piece of completion. So for some guys, you know, for some of the teenagers, it's like fun and easy and they love it and it's just, oh, this is great. Others, it can be really like nerve-wracking and like, oh my gosh, it's almost just as hard as the wilderness challenge that the rite of passage was, right? To like, oh my gosh, host a party and speak in front of a group and et cetera, et cetera. But we really want to be clear on the front end here. This is something we see as a requirement. And so we ask your support. We don't want you to do it. We don't want you to, you know, take leadership on with this and make it happen. But we do need you to support your sons. And it's okay. You can certainly help out. But he needs to be a significant part of initiating this event. And we're there to help. You know, we're there as a resource, and we meet with the guys and talk about this and everything. So supporting your son to host a giveaway, that's the final element of your involvement in this rite of passage. Okay, so One other important point that we've noticed is, you know, I know we're going on and on about how essential the rite of passage is, but we also want to be clear. We don't often see a dramatic change immediately after the rite of passage, right? Like we're seeing that this is a long-term strategy. So sometimes it does happen. Sometimes we do get dramatic change, and we get parents reporting that to us, or even the young men. But oftentimes we don't. And what we're talking about is a deep change deep inside, really his psyche or his spirit, depending on how you want to look at that, deep inside his heart, that takes time. So it's kind of like, you know, tending a little seed, and we're right there for the moment of, you know, of that seed sprouting, maybe. But it takes time for that to grow. So we don't necessarily expect to see, you know, dramatic outward visible changes immediately, like, oh my gosh, my son is perfectly nice and he never gives me any pushback and he's always helpful, he always remembers to do every chore and, you know, there's never any trouble. I think that happened one time where we actually got a report like that, but in the majority of the cases, you know, it's a slower change that we're talking about here. Nonetheless, you know, but no less significant and important. Okay.
Can I address something, Tim?
Our time. Yeah, sure, Daniel. I just want to mention we're coming up on 8:30 here, so I think it's good for us to move towards completion here.
I'll just say, because we've been doing this rite of passage for, this will be our fifth year doing this, there are elements of the rite of passage that we hold confidential. And that's not because we want to hide anything that we're doing from anybody, but because it's a community thing and because it's an ongoing thing, there's a huge value for the boys coming into it to be stepping fully into the dark, into the unknown, into something that they don't know what's going to happen. So they have to let go. So they have to trust. So they have to face this fear edge. And so we don't talk about certain things that happen in the rite of passage that are specifics of how we run it. We, of course, open it up to how the experience impacted the boy, or then the young man, and what they're taking away from it and what moved them and what shifted in them and what was difficult for them. And they do get a chance to tell their story. But there are certain elements that we ask them and you to hold confidential and not spread around so that it really is a pure experience for the next
right.
ones who come in.
Great. Yeah, that's so important. And part of that, you know, we talked about in the email, I know I mentioned, you know, please don't say anything to your sons about this yet. And so just want to speak to that briefly here. Our philosophy is that this is an event that we want to suggest that that the decision to be made, the decision of whether to do it or not, is made by you as his parents and by us as his mentors. Right, and in a similar way of how you would make the decision of what school your child will go to, you know, yeah, you may take into account, or even if your child's going to go to school, or if they're going to be homeschooled, or if they're going to be unschooled, you know, you'll certainly take into account his needs and some of his desires. But in the end, that's a decision that you make as a parent, because you know he needs an education in some shape or form. In this world. So you make the choice. He's going to go to school. We see this as very similar, right, to the rite of passage. We see that, oh, he's going to face great challenges in this life. He will have to face his emotions, right? He will need to discover what does it mean to be a man. Whether we like it or not, whether he likes it or not, he's going to have to do those things. And so we see the rite of passage as the really an essential element of training and preparation for those pieces of life, for those elements of life. And so how we approach this is we're offering this to you, asking, hey, would you like to consider this? We see and we believe that your son may be ready. And if so, okay, then we would make that agreement. And then from that point, we, as the guides, would send a letter to your son. And this is the calling letter, where it's not a flyer for a program for a camp. It's us saying to him, we see that you're ready, and we see that you're changing, we see that you're entering a new phase in life, and it's time for you to have this rite of passage. So here's when it's happening. Here's what you need to do to prepare. We'll see you there. So it's like it's a calling, and there's something powerful about that. You know, it's different from, oh, honey, do you want to go to camp? That's not what this is. You know, it's not what this is. So what we found is that supports this element that Daniel was just mentioning, right? Facing the unknown. It supports this mythological perspective. It's in the old cultures. It wasn't a choice that they made. You know, it wasn't like, oh, when's good for you, Friday or Saturday? No, mm-hmm. It wasn't like that, you know. It was the mentors and the uncles in their lives would watch them, and when they were ready, they would come get them. Right? When the adults saw that they were ready, not when the boy thought he was ready, how would he know anyway? He doesn't know what challenges he'll face. So there's something powerful about that, and we've seen that really works. And so that's part of what we're offering here. That's part of what we're offering here. It's definitely different. You can see, just as I'm sharing all this, I hope you're getting that impression, you know, that, yeah, there is a certain amount of maturity. That's why this is not for, like, a 10 or 11-year-old. Sometimes I get parents coming to me saying, I just had one, actually, a week ago, a parent of an 11-year-old boy saying, oh, I think he's ready for a rite of passage. And I asked them all those indicators. No. And you know, he wouldn't be ready for this kind of experience. So I told her, I said, no, you know, it's not quite time. You know, a couple more years here. And that's part of the consideration for you all to make as parents. Do you really feel like he's ready for something like this, if you're interested in, right? If this is speaking to you, if you're resonating with this, then you've got that question. You know, is this something you believe he's ready for? And we kind of have to watch it, you know, as parents, because we can have that tendency sometimes to want to protect and hold. And that's really common at this phase. I just want to say, and honestly, particularly for mothers, not always, not in every case, but in oftentimes we see that moms especially have a hard time letting go. And I think that's only natural. You know, it's your baby boy, your flesh and blood. It came from your body. Of course that would be a difficult thing to let go of, you know. Amy, not to put the spotlight on you too much, but you had mentioned, you know, I think in an email or communication, you said something to the effect of, you can't believe that Noah is already at this point, you know, and I'm not sure if I'm ready for him to go through this transition. But, you know, that's our work as parents, is like, oh, well, is he ready? Independent of me, like, is he ready?
Right.
And if so, then, you know, then he should go. And if we've got some work to do there, that's okay. You know, and we're here to help. But yeah. Okay, good. So, okay, so we're just moving towards wrapping up here. Okay, I'm just checking my notes. all right, so I think, Daniel, I want to just jump into those final logistics here with the group. But before I do that, just want to make any other space for you. Anything else you want to share before we jump into the final logistics?
No, I think we're good.
Okay, good. We've got this first phone call. We've got a second phone call that we'd ask you to make an agreement to join us for. And that second phone call is just, again, just for parents, being a time to just share a little bit about your process of what does it mean for you to let go. Some cases it's just real smooth. Some cases there's some work to be done. I lead that process for the dads, and actually, my wife Janine leads the process for the moms. So we actually do two separate phone conference calls for that process. We will work with you on a time. We'll work with the group of whoever makes the commitment and agree on a time that works for the, as many people as we can. So we don't have that set. Of course, there's the rite of passage itself, which is taking place from Wednesday night, May 17th, until Sunday afternoon, May 21st. And so, yes, we are very much aware that that is during the school year. And, yes, we are asking you, if you'd like to join us for this, to have your sons miss those 2 days of school, that Thursday and Friday. What we've found, just want to address that briefly, is that, you know, I've seen this kind of process done over a weekend. I've seen, and we used to do it even just for a four-day experience. What we've found is that for this level of depth of an experience to take place, that it needs a certain amount of time. And at this point, we've really, you know, having done this for 4 years in a row now, we've really found that, that having the Wednesday night, the all day Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, to Sunday afternoon, all that time is really needed. Sometimes parents ask me, Tim, why don't you do this in the summer with our summer camp season? It gets so full that really doesn't work for us on our end of things. And so we are asking for that. I recognize that's significant. I don't take that lightly. But I also do believe that this is offering something very unique and worthwhile. Where is it going to happen? We keep that confidential. We will tell you, but we do keep that information confidential. We really don't want the boys to know. That's part of them facing the unknown, facing the mystery, right, is that they don't actually know where they're going to be going. It's a safe place. We've done it there each year. It's a great place for it. But we keep that information confidential until just when we're like a week or two out. This year, we do have in the community more boys who I see are ready for this. My initial list was actually 21 boys who were potential candidates that I put the invitation out to, which was the biggest list I've ever had. The most number of boys I'm willing to accept is 12 for this. So the biggest group size would be 12. It could be as small as even 3 or 4. We've done it that small before. We're definitely committed to very strong relationship presence, right? Like, there will be plenty of individual attention, a great amount of individual attention. Another question, what is this challenge, right? Oftentimes we get that. So what I can tell you about it is there will be a solo component where your sons will go out into the woods on their own in a solo experience for a good chunk of time, an overnight experience. We do incorporate a sweat lodge, which is a traditional earth-based ceremony that we've worked with for years. Those are two major components of this that I can share with you. There's some elements, as Daniel said, we do keep confidential. Certainly your boys will be safe the entire time, and that's, you know, that's part of it. That's part of the trust that we ask from you, you know, is to support that. Okay, what else? as I said, we'll have the formal parent separation ceremony on the front end, on drop-off, and then on pick-up we've got the formal reunification ceremony with the parents. There's the giveaway. We talked about that. And then lastly is the cost. So if this were a regular program and kind of existed in a normal business model, which it's not and doesn't, but if it was, you know, I would price this at about $600, given the amount of time that we're investing in the experience itself, the rite of passage itself, plus these other meetings beforehand and afterwards. That said, because it's such a rich and special experience, it's one that I really look at differently. And so what we've done is we've created a sliding scale that we offer to the community, and we say, okay, let's create the sliding scale, the scale being 500 on the low end to 700 on the high end, and saying, hey, you know, if and you can kind of self-select. If you make less, you can pay less. If you make more, you know, you have some abundance, you can pay more. And that said, if those finances are even the low end, 500, if that's still too much for you and you really feel like, wow, that's going to be prohibitive, we're not able to meet that, I'm willing to work with you. And, you know, for me, at the end of the day, this is really important, and I really feel a heart calling. Even for me, it's a spiritual calling, really, to offer this to the community, and I'm personally not willing to let money stop that. So if you came to me and said, Tim, you know, here's what I got, can we make this work? I'll work with you on that. What I do need from each of you, if you'd like to participate, is I need a clear agreement, that we make an agreement, okay, this is what we're going to do, this is where we're going to come in, and then to stick with that. And I think that's fair and reasonable. So there we have it. Next steps are certainly, you know, talk this over as parents. We do ask you, if you would, for now, continue to hold this confidential from your sons. If maybe they've found out through one way or another, sometimes that happens. It's not the end of the world. But we just ask you not to, you know, enter into further discussion with them about it at this point. We're going to do question and answers here in just a minute, but if further questions come up, I'm certainly available. Feel free to reach out, and we'll take some time with you. And then if you're ready to go ahead and make that commitment and to sign up, I will create an online way that you can do that. We'll have some basic familiar elements, you know, a med form and a financial agreement on there and waiver and that kind of thing. You won't find a very lengthy description of the experience. That's what this call is for. Okay? And then once, you know, our goal, I would love to see our group be solidified by the 1st of April. That's a little less than 2 weeks away. So if that's possible for you, I think that's what we're looking at. And I think that should be enough time for everyone to consider the details and get questions answered, et cetera, et cetera. So then at that point, we would coordinate via email and figure out a time for that second meeting. Okay? All right, so I think that's all I've got as far as the details. I do want to go ahead and just open it up. Any questions at this point are fair game. I know we've covered a lot of ground, and thanks, everybody, for hanging in there with us. But yeah, any questions at this point?
Hey, Tim.
Yeah.
Pauline here. You said Wednesday night. About what time? I mean, I know we're still subjected to where it's going to be, but what time
sure,
in
you
the
bet.
Evening?
Yeah, it's, I can give you that info right here. Give me just a moment. Six p.m. on Wednesday night is our start time, and
okay.
You know we pick a location and we choose that time so that ideally there's enough time in there for him to finish school that day, and hopefully to get most of your work done if you're working till five or so, and still be able to make it up to our location on time.
Okay.
Yeah. And on the tail end, what we're looking at is we ask parents to be on location at 1:30 p.m. on that Sunday. And then in both those cases, Pauline and for everyone, we have, you know, it's a couple hours, maybe 2-3 hours of process there, both that Wednesday night as well as that Sunday afternoon. So on Sunday, you know, we're definitely done by, and I think it's more like 2 hours, so we're definitely done by, say, 4 o'clock at the latest there on Sunday.
Thanks.
Yeah, you bet. Thank, great, great question. Thanks for asking. So, yeah, any other questions?
Nope.
Okay, good. Well,
Tim, I had a question.
Okay, yeah,
Tim,
who's this?
Joy.
Joy.
Just wanted to know about bringing up a younger sibling for send-off or for reunification.
Great, great question. For the send-off, we like to encourage it to be just parents and not have the siblings. And that's really, I think, Joy, I would say, it's to honor this idea of the confidentiality, right? That we're letting you as parents in kind of close to that special experience. So what we find is that that's best served without younger siblings. And on the tail end for the parent reunification, that's really the ideal scenario there as well. You know, it's a rich and special experience that's really heartfelt, and I think part of it is that we're really asking you to be fully present just with this one, you know, who's going through the initiation at that time, and especially emotionally present. And so what we find is that not having younger siblings really supports that in that way. That said, you know, so that's certainly our preference. If that element alone was prohibitive, you know, I could work with you on that, and I think we could figure something out. But it's, you know, especially on that tail end, they come out and they've just had a very profound experience. So they're, you know, they're in a sensitive space there at the very end, and so it's nice to have not too big of a crowd there at the end, you know, to help wrap things up in a good way. Great question.
That said, it is nice to have grandparents and special uncles and aunts come on that final
great point
day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, or maybe even a special teacher if your boy had if your son has a particularly strong relationship with another teacher, say, sometimes that can be a really supportive element there as well, having their presence. Okay, good. Any last questions then?
Yeah, Tim, this is Harvey. Not that it's critical, but I was curious about the giveaway. Is that something that the parents help the son arrange in their own home community in the weeks that follow the event?
Yeah, great question, Harvey. Thank you. What we've found is ideal is for the young men at that point to host that giveaway. You know, I think ideally I would say sometime in that summer that follows, right? It's good to wait, actually. We find, actually, I encourage them to wait at least a month, actually, to really let themselves digest the experience and have some space from it. And so then that brings us, you know, to basically the start of the summer. So the ideal scene is, yeah, it happening sometime that summer. We ask that the young men initiate it as much as possible, and, you know, take that leadership. And in that way, that's a task that we see that's a good one for them to step into as newly born young men. And we recognize that may very well stretch them. So, parents are totally welcome to help. You know, I think what we're trying to avoid is mom or dad stepping in and totally taking on all the organization and leadership and invitations and everything. If that were to happen, then it kind of puts the your son back into that dependency, right?
And oh yeah, I get it.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Good. And yeah, also just want to mention on that note, we will be addressing the giveaway more throughout this experience. We actually do a whole special phone call just on the giveaway after the rite of passage. And at that point, we have the, you parents and the, your sons on the call when we're going over that. So, okay, good. Well, I know this has been a big call, and I really want to say a big thank you to everybody for hanging in there. And I would just make a little space here for any just final reflections from you all as parents. I'm always just really curious. You know, I can't see your faces. If it's not like we're sitting around a fire, I kind of wish we were right now. You know, that would be my preference. You know, and to see how all these words and stories and all the sharing impacts you each. But yeah, so I would just love to help kind of fill that gap. I'd love to even just hear a reflection or two from anyone who wants to share. You know, how has this call been? How has it landed for you? Yeah, what's caught your attention? Does this feel important to you? Why does it feel important? Kelly, you were sharing about that earlier. Or just, yeah, how are you feeling here at the end of our call?
Yeah, this is Harvey in Spokane. I would say that I was really touched by your commitment and vision, as detailed as it is and complete. And it was a whether we do the we decide that my son's ready this year or not. It was still a the call was worth the time, just in terms of getting perspective on parenting and and our culture and where things go awry and what things, you know, kids really need. So I found it was really helpful in that way.
Great. Thank you, Harvey. That means a lot for me to hear that. Thank you.
This is Judy. I want to say, you know, we'll have to talk about it and think about also whether it's the right time for us to do it. But I do want to say that knowing that Tim and Daniel and Jesse would be the leaders is really wonderful. And we, you know, do have so much appreciation for all three of you. So that's really, you know, a nice prospect to think about.
Yeah, thank you, Judy.
Thank you.
I second what Judy says. This is Amy. What an incredible group of men to be with our children, and I know that they already admire you and love you all so much, and I'm grateful for that, so thank you.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Okay, so heck with the kids. I'm coming. I'm coming.
Yeah.
It's me. Who cares about them? It's about me. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that off mute? Whoops.
Oh, that's great, Joy.
I know it, right?
Like, I wish I didn't have anything like this when I was 13. You know, goodness knows I needed it. You know, I only wish I could have had this. You know, and but that's really our work. You know, okay, well, look at the things we wished we had in our lives and bring that to our kids, bring that to our communities. You know, I think that's certainly a philosophy I do my best to live by. So, yeah. Well, good. Listen, I will tell you all, my intention very much is to host this again next year and into the coming years. That I'm here. I'm doing this. I want to just acknowledge my hope is that Daniel continues to come out here. But, you know, I mean, Daniel, you and I have spoken, and it's you've made it clear you're holding an intention to run this in your own community. And I definitely foresee that happening. So I just want to share that with you parents, for whatever that's worth to you. It's worth a lot to me. You know, I don't know if Daniel will be participating in this in future years or not, here at Twin Eagles. So if that's an influencing factor for you, I think that's, you know, just fair to share that. And yes, we're definitely lucky to have you here with us and blessed to have you here with us this year, Daniel.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, we're nearing 9 o'clock, so I think we're past our stated wrap-up time. So thanks, everyone, for hanging in there with us. If further questions do come up, by all means, like I said, please let me know. and happy to have a phone call, make a connection with you. You know, I think and I will follow this up with an email. I'll put a recording to the call, a link to the recording, and we've got some other families who haven't heard this. And for all of you guys listening to the recording right now, hello, welcome, we love you and include you in our circle here as well. And thanks for listening through to this point. So yeah, and there'll be a link on there for the online sign-up. If you feel like you're ready, you can go ahead with that. It's always good for us to make some sort of connection with you all. So if you feel like, you know, that's been a while since we've had a connection, by all means, give me a call, you know, and we can just talk a little bit. But if you're feeling ready, we can do that. And like I said, my goal would be to have all that registration in place by April 1st so we can take our next steps from there. Okay?
Quick question from Harvey. Are you going to post your phone number on the in the email and also maybe some good times to call you so we're not calling you when you don't want us to?
Yeah, that's great, Harvey. I'll make a point of doing that.
Great, thank you.
Yeah. Great.
Tim, I'd love to close with a poem.
Beautiful, yeah. Why don't you wrap us up here, Dee?
Well, I just want to say thanks again to all of you parents, and to you, Tim, for initiating this, and to all of us for taking some time to remember the future generations here and what we're passing on to them. And this poem is called To Know the Dark by Wendell Berry. To go in the dark with a light is to know the light. To know the dark, go without sight, and find that the dark, too, blooms and sings, and is traveled by dark feet and dark wings.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, gang, well, with that, we're going to wrap it up. So I hope you all have a great rest of your night here. And, yeah, I do look forward to hearing back from you. I would appreciate just some sort of communication. Either way, if you do decide or if you don't, that would be helpful to me, even if it's just a quick email, like, hey, we're gonna pass for now. That's fine, you know. But, yeah, it's helpful to get some communication. So I do look forward to hearing back from you guys. And I'm sure we'll be in touch one way or another. In the coming weeks and months here.
Thank you,
Tim.
Thank you, Daniel.
Have a great night.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Night, night.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Daniel.
Okay, yeah, you betcha. Good night.